Hello, everyone. It was actually pretty interesting just seeing Ian McKay on the stage because originally I wanted to talk about one of his films because Neue Wave Hookers really has a lot of technology on screen, but then I decided to show you some European films instead because I thought you all know American hardcore films, but you may not know German and Spanish and Italian films. So I'm doing that. All right, I lived in Vienna half a year ago, and when I lived there, I worked in a pornographic cinema as a clerk, so that was really interesting. They showed two films a night in repetition, and I worked there three nights a week for a year. So that is 52 weeks, that makes over 300 porn films I watched during that time. And well, what I noticed, except the really bad quality of most of the films they were showing there, was that technology is really underrepresented on screen in porno films. It plays only a marginal role on screen, whereas it's a really big factor off screen. So we heard a lot about a lot of talks about how technology may or may not drive pornography and vice versa, but there's not a lot of technology on screen, I thought. So I looked into that, and I looked at pornographic feature films. So what is a feature film? It has a narrative, so it must necessarily tell a story. It can't be episodic. It has to have a round and unbroken diegesis, which is the film's universe. So, and in the best features have an extensive plot development. So they start out with equilibrium, which is a balance of some sort. The world is may not be good, may not be perfect, but it's balanced. And then it moves into disequilibrium, meaning there's some sort of crisis, there's chaos, something happens that the hero or the protagonist has to get out of. And it ends with an equilibrium again. That may not be a happy end, because, for example, in Shakespeare's King Lear, everybody's dead in the end, but that's an equilibrium of some sort as well. So it doesn't have to be happy, it just has to be, you know, an end, a balance. I wanted to show you European films, but then the more I researched, the more I found out that there are few European companies actually with a budget big enough for feature films. There's Private, of course, they're from Spain. There's Marc Dorcel, they're French. And the German porn landscape is really interesting because apparently the biggest export hit from Germany into the United States is John Thompson, which is like they specialize in sperm gurgling. Well, not much to work with there. So there are pretty few features, but I brought you two. All right, so there are a lot of theories about pornographic feature films. There's one from Georg Seslin. He is, or he was, I don't know if he's living. He's a German journalist and a film theorist and also an author. He wrote a lot of books. And he wrote The Pornographic Film. It's from 1980, so that's like one of the most modern books about pornography there is. And he said that feature films, which he calls quality porn, pornifies elements of the recreational industry and status symbols and popular culture. He said, porn is never about just filming sex, it's always a commentary on popular culture. It has to be more than just film sex, otherwise it's not pornography. And that's his stance. And there's a completely different stance from someone named Stephen Marcus. He wrote a book called The Other Victorians, which is actually about pornography in 19th century. And for him, pornography takes place in a pornotopia, which is a utopian setting where social and physical rules don't apply. You might notice that relationships aren't really important in pornography. I mean, and the conclusion of most pornographic films is not that the people end up as couples and ride into the sunset, but mostly is how much sex did they have and how much orgies they had. So for Marcus, those rules don't apply. Also, the physical rules don't apply, meaning that the things that porn stars do on the screen, they're not what most of us would do at home, because those people are real skilled artists and athletes. I mean, they practice for what they do, so most of us can't do what they do. And Linda Williams said about Marcus that although Marcus is no fan of pornography in general, he recognizes its function of fantasy wish fulfillment, which is a really just a quote showing that he didn't recognize pornography to be, you know, a commentary, like Cislin says. The third theory I wanted to introduce you to is that of Linda Williams. She wrote a book that's called Hardcore in 1989, and this book is still a classic, so everyone should read it. She's a professor of film studies in Berkeley, and well, as you can see from the year of the publishing year, there hasn't been really much groundbreaking work since. Linda Williams incorporates the theories of Marcus and Cislin, and she compares the hardcore pornographic feature film with movie musicals. So just imagine a musical that you've seen or heard about. She says that musicals have narrative and musical numbers, just as well as pornography has narrative elements and sexual numbers. And the narrative parts are relatively a real portrayal of the world, and the musical numbers are what would Marcus, yeah, they would equal Marcus' theory about the pornotopia. And she said that noting that number, like the musical number or the sexual number, does not simply interrupt narrative, but rather that the two function in careful orchestrated parallel scenes involving both the male and the female protagonist. So that's really, I think it's really a nifty comparison, because it works. It incorporates the pornotopia of Marcus, and it also gives credit to Cislin, I think. All right. I'm a bit fast. I'm a bit nervous. I'm sorry about that. But now I want to show you some examples, which you have all been waiting for, hopefully. I brought you three films. I spent some weeks counting television in the background of pornographic feature films, and had I just taken random sample of films, there wouldn't be much to show, because there's a lot, you know, I could have shown you stills from a fleeting TV in the background while a couple is fucking, but that's not really interesting, so I cheated. I brought you a German film called Der Hacker, which is The Hacker. It's from 2007, Videorama. Then I brought you Porn Wars from Private in 2006. And I brought you Die Methoden des Dr. Fist, which is The Methods of Dr. Fist, also from Videorama. We'll start with Dr. Fist. That's really an interesting film. I had a lot of fun watching it. Because my screensaver. Okay, so the story is, it's just a day in the life of famous Dr. Cornelius Fist, who, yes, his name is Cornelius, who cures women's orgasm problems by fisting them. And there's a reporter from a women's magazine, and she wants to do a piece on this Dr. Fist, and she ends up getting treated and quitting her job to be Dr. Fist's new assistant. So that's the short synopsis. It's really, the narrative isn't really much to look at, but it is a narrative, and it's really hard to come by in German porn films, so I chose this film. The first excerpt we're going to see is the doctor just arrived at his doctor's office, and he's preparing the examination chair for a patient. Note how professionally he cleans the chair. I selected this scene because there's you see the vibrator, and it's actually working. And he tries it out. He even listens to it in a bit. And it's really seldom that you come across working piece of technology and sex toy in a porn or feature film. Very professional as well. You can see he's done that a million times already.
So, hier entlang.
Ja. Toll, dass Sie so kurzfristig für mich wieder
zeigen. Oh, das ist doch eine Selbstverständlichkeit.
All right, that's funny.
Oh, da ist aber jemand nervös, was?
All right, so the sound doesn't match up with the video. So I think my computer is, too slow to play this. I'm going to play this without Zoom, so maybe you'll have to scrunch a bit, but then it'll be synchronous at least. Oh, piece of shit. All right. There we have. All right. See, it makes sound. Woo!
So, hier entlang.
Ja. Toll, dass Sie so kurzfristig für mich wieder.
All right, so that's the patient. And she's getting undressed and on the chair. And he actually shows her what the equipment is like. I want to show you that as well. See? Oops. Where is it? 55. Oh. But first, she's got to be prepared, right?
Oh, jetzt wird's ja mal spannender.
So, bitte mal zu halten.
Das hier, ja?
As you can see, they're really not familiar with the equipment. The cable is completely in the way. It's not really romantic. It's not very... Yeah. So she goes on doing that. I could let you watch it, but it's really not really that interesting. Later on, she gets the remote control and can control that herself, the toy, before he fists her. In this instance, I think it's really interesting because you can see that technology, in this instance, the vibrating toy, is directly involved in the sexual numbers. This is really, really rare. This is the only film I found, the only European film I found that had this. I mean, there is one film I'm going to show you in a minute that had the same toy in another color with the cable, but they used it without the remote control just as a dildo. I don't know why they didn't cut the cable, but they didn't use it as a vibrator. All right, let's move on to the other film, the next one. This is going to be The Hacker. It's a German production, very new, and the German porn star Vivian Schmidt she received awards for her acting, apparently. And, well, yeah, she plays herself. And her website has been hacked by a subversive internet company. And what from what I could gather, which is really not a lot, this ominous internet company apparently shoots their own porn and puts it on Vivian's site to make money of it. I have no idea why. Well, Vivian hires a private detective and with his help finds out where this internet company is located and breaks into their premises and confronts the boss of this company, and it all results in a very steamy sex scene. So, plot. Right, so the first scene I'm going to show you is 10 minutes into the film. And it's, they just, Vivian and her assistant just arrived at the private eye's office, and she gives hand jobs to both of them at the same time, and then the phone of the private detective rings, and he tells the other two to just go on without him. Let me see if that's the right scene I picked.
Ja, okay.
Ja, mach dir mal ruhig weiter.
Na, aber da fragen wir gar nicht, oder?
That really doesn't help. So that's really a short bit. But as you can see, he leaves the scene, taking a phone call. And after that, they get undressed. So they're dressed before. And so right now they get undressed and have a very, very, very long sex scene with, like, all the positions you can imagine. Okay, the next scene. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's going to be good. So the next one is the private eye has found out where this internet company is located. So they go there, break into the premises, and they find out that there's a porn shooting there. And they witness this porn shooting.
Schau mal, die nimmt den ja richtig Maß.
Ja, das ist wohl wahr. Komm, wir müssen ein zurück, oh, ja. Ja, bevor wir auffahren.
What's also interesting about the scene, it's not really on topic, but the German language is really limited when it comes to dirty talk. So all she's saying is, ooh, it's so hot, yeah, hot, I'm so hot. All the time. She doesn't say anything else. I mean, now she can, but when she talks. Right, so that goes on for a bit. And it's really interesting because this is a film within a film, right? It's a porno movie shooting in a porno movie. So the next scene is when she finishes that blowjob. Let me see if the zoom works here. Typing with one hand. All right. Yeah, well, I'm not that skilled, you know, you see, because German films are so bad. Okay, the next scene is when she finishes that blowjob, the male model gets this remote-controlled vibrator, which we have seen in the other movie. It's actually the same company, so maybe they just got two of the same vibrators and use it in every movie. I haven't checked, but could be. And she uses it as a dildo.
Oh.
You see the cable? He just puts it away and doesn't use it at all.
Oh, yeah, ist das geil. Oh, ja. Ja, schneller. Oh, ja.
Pardon? Yeah, geil means like hot and horny. It also means horny. Yeah. So all she's saying is that, you know, she feels horny and is hot and nothing else. It's really weird. Okay, so as you can see, the technological part of the toy doesn't play any part here. It's just another toy that truly doesn't matter. So I have no idea why they didn't use a normal dildo for that. All right, next scene. So in this scene, there's a handyman who drags a monitor up the stairs, and he gets stalled by a horny office girl who says, don't do whatever you're doing, fuck me. And he is referring to the monitor as a computer. I know, but he says, I have to install this computer, and you'll see yourself. Oops.
Ja, der Chef hat gesagt, die soll den Ofen neu aufbauen.
Aufbauen?
Ja.
The acting is really fabulous. So he's really laboring with that thing.
Na, da krieg ich noch einen Einlauf vom Chef, weil ich das Ding oben nicht aufgebaut habe. Was soll denn das jetzt? Hier, hör auf. Das können wir hier jetzt nicht machen, nee.
So what he's saying is he doesn't want her to fuck him because he really, really wants to install the computer. Nerd. Well, I don't know, installing a monitor. Well, all right. We'll get to the final scene in this movie, which has anything to do with computers. It's the last one, actually, where the boss of the internet company, who is apparently, he has his office in a garage, whereas his co-workers are in an old warehouse. So he's completely somewhere else, and he checks the progress on Vivian's site, whatever that means. I have no idea. And he's saying, this is really going well. And then Vivian comes in and confronts him with what he's doing. And I don't know if it's translatable, but when she comes up to him, she says, I knew you were guilty. And there is a German saying that that goes like, if you break something, you can say, it goes to the ass. It's like, es geht in den Arsch. It's really a crude German saying. So when she confronts him, she tells him that he's responsible for her website going to the ass. what she's saying in German is, for our Viennese watchers, is ich wusste es, du machst meine Webseite in Arsch. Well, all right. So let's watch that. So this is the guy.
Alles okay, Mann.
I mean, look at it. He's got a monitor and cables to a computer. I mean, it's hooked up, so this is really great. And there's a laptop, but this isn't hooked up at all.
Ja, das ist mir wieder mal gut gelungen.
So this is the hack. It says hacked. And this is the famous Vivian confronting the internet guy. And miraculously, I mean, it's a miracle, the door opens when she's knocking. And you notice the cardboard thing? It's also her. Yeah, I think so.
Schon wieder, ich wusste es, ich bin hier genau richtig. Sie machen meine Seite in Arsch.
Ihre Seite.
Wissen Sie, was das mich an Kohle kostet. Das ist unglaublich, echt. Vielen Dank.
All right, I want to show you the final because.
Wissen Sie, was Sie mich an Kohle kosten?
Dass Sie jetzt hier sind.
Hallo, Finger.
Ja, gefällt Sie.
Oh ja, die. Oh, gut.
And maybe there's going to be a second part of it, because I don't think you've noticed it in the fast forward, but he is actually streaming the sex he's having with her onto the site. All right. So, well, the moral of this, or the conclusion you can draw from this, is here technology is actually used as a catalyst to sex, or as a prelude, like kind of a foreplay. For example, when the private eye gets his phone call, only after that they're getting undressed and having sex, not before. Or the guy with the monitor, I mean, come on, without his nerdiness, maybe she wouldn't have wanted to fuck him. Or like the last scene, first she's angry about all this computer stuff, and then fucking ensues. So that's another use, or another kind of representation of technology on screen. All right, the last example I have is Porn Wars, which is actually a kind of remake from Star Wars. Well, who would have guessed? From Private. I'm not going to tell you much about it, because Thomas Ballhausen is going to talk longer about it tomorrow. You should all come and hear his talk. But I have a couple of scenes I want to show you. So it's 6 minutes into the film, and well, the synopsis is they have this Jedi Knights, which they call Jodai, and apparently they're just waiting for something. Really, I didn't really get a lot of the plot, because I have the film in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. I didn't know when I got this. I mean, you know, fuck the internet. But when I got this, it didn't say it was in Spanish. So I'm just going to show you the parts that interested me most.
I can tell you what they say.
You can tell me what they say. Well, they're not going to say much in the scenes I'm going to show you. All right, so in the first scene I'm going to show you, there's two Jodais, and the male Jodai uses his force powers to retrieve his lightsaber, which is actually a dildo, from his female colleague who had stolen it before, and then he undresses her. Great powers, right? Who wouldn't want those? Oh my god.
You're missing space.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. See, I'm so nervous, I don't even see. No!
Wrong
space. I don't see it.
That's the right space, but you put it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now I see it. Oh, I'm so glad I have you. I wouldn't know what to do without you.
Hey!
Okay.
No me ataques.
¿Por qué?
Here you can see that it's a dildo upside down. It's great. I mean, the special effects are wonderful. So yeah, who wouldn't want those powers? All right. So yeah, next scene. Well, this is actually a bit of both, but I wanted to show you the lightsabers. They're not on in the scene, but I wanted to show you the dildos, which are actually... The dildos are used in the movie, but not on. I mean, when the lightsabers come out, they don't use it as a sex toy. So I didn't know if this was, you know... Yeah, but not at the same time. Yeah, well, it depends on, I mean... It would be interesting, though, because there's another scene later on I will show you where this would actually be a very interesting twist. I'm going to show you in a bit. But right now, what I'm going to show you is there's a bad guy who does kind of a mind sweep on this female Jedi, and after that she completely submissively fucks him. All right. So, and while they're having sex, a spaceship like glides by in the background. So it's really great blue box. Just pay attention to the background, please. Yeah, the background is the important thing here. Gliding by. Oh, firing up and gone. All right. Yeah. So it's 3 minutes into the next CD. Spaceship, planets, space, special effects. Listen to the music. Do you recognize it? And just keep in mind, this is a porno movie. Goes on for a bit, and the final scene I wanted to show you in this movie, this is the one I was talking about before, where the lightsaber and the dildo at the same time might not be the worst of ideas, because the good guys who finally got behind all this kind of conspiracy, there was some kind of conspiracy going on, I don't know, and the good guys confront the bad guys. Coincidentally, the good guys are a girl and a boy, and the bad guys are a girl and a boy. Oh, my God. And so they confront them and do this mind sweep thing again, because they're apparently, you know, their force is better than the bad guy's force. And so the bad guys start to undress, and they get seduced by the good guys, right? So, lightsaber, dildo, weapon. All right, let's look at that. So, those undressing are the good guys, you know, mind sweep. And just look at this beautiful energy core, which has nothing to do at all with any of the things that are going on. It's just there, doing what energy cores do. Yeah, that's actually all of it, and I don't want to mess up the punchline here, but I'm going to tell you about it, because it's so neat. When they finish fucking them, the bad guys are really exhausted, and then they draw up the lightsabers and say, "Ha, got you." So, well, they got a good fuck out of it. Well, so, as you can see in this movie, the technology on the screen is only used as narrative element or as atmospheric. It has also atmospheric functions. Like this energy core that didn't have anything to do with anything. I mean, it's just there so you get the feeling of science fiction, of Star Trek, Star Wars, you know, the works. And the starships and the really bad laser fight thing, that's a kind of narrative element, although I haven't found out why they're having this fight in space. But maybe Thomas will enlighten us tomorrow. Yeah, so what we've seen is that technology on screen of pornographic feature films is represented in different ways. It has narrative functions, it has atmospheric functions, and it acts as a kind of foreplay or triggering element to sexual activities. And sometimes it's even directly involved in the sexual numbers, although not as often as I imagined it would be, because in literary, like written pornography or internet pornography, technology plays such a huge role. It's everywhere. I mean, it doesn't even have to be kinky like the fucking machines or something. It's just cell phones or phone sex or TVs and videos and everything we encounter in our daily lives could be pornified. Pornified? You know what I mean. But it isn't. There's no vibrating cell phone vibrating on screen in a feature film. So nobody made a story about that. Why? I don't know. It's actually not a question I can answer tonight. But I wish there was more consumer electronics in pornographic feature films. It would be really nice, because then we would know that technology really is there in popular culture. And when pornography starts commenting on that, it's really arrived, I think. And so technology is really underrepresented in at least European feature films. I don't know, the landscape in America might look a bit different, but the role it plays is really very marginal. So I hope this talk serves as a bit of a poke in the direction of the people who make porn. So put more tech in porn, people. I mean, come on, really, do it. Okay, thank you. That was it.
I forgot. Now we can turn on the lights again. Okay, my... Stop. Go. So my first question would be... like the normal, like repetitive, like porn movies, they are like basically set in a, like it's a fantasy world, basically. Like nothing like that happens really, or does it? I mean, okay.
You have to differentiate, really. The feature film, what I was trying to explain is that the feature film has a plot and a narrative, however thin it is. But the episode films and the gonzo films, they don't. Okay. And it's a completely different thing with those.
That's what I mean. But still, in the feature film, it's like it's a narrative, of course. But it's like a fantasy narrative. Like when, like, would it really happen that a guy walks up with a screen and then he starts like having sex with a secretary? I don't know.
Well, but in Star Wars, would it really happen? You know, that the bad guy is your dad and stuff like that. I mean, come on, it's fantasy. I mean, it's a fictional world. Yeah, it's a fictional universe, and it doesn't have to be real. I mean. It can be fictional, but it has a narrative. It goes somewhere with a story. It has a story. And gonzo film isn't about a narrative at all. And the sexual numbers, they're different. They act in this sort of utopian thing. They don't have to be at all real. It's like I said, it's like a musical. Like guy and meets girl and is very unhappy. And then he breaks out in song. You know, that's kind of what I meant with pornography. The narrative elements, they follow rules, like filmic rules, like narrative rules. But the numbers, they're a completely different topic. They don't have to follow any rules. They don't have to be represent actual sex. It is not actual sex. It's, you know, some kind of sport, what they do there. They train for it. They prepare for it. You can't do that at home, I think, most of the stuff.
Yeah. Because like normally you have like porn plots that, like, I don't know, a plumber knocks on the door, I'm here to like look for your kitchen sink, and then they have sex on the sink, or I don't know, whatever. So most of the time it's like this like narrative like elements of like everyday life, and then they break out into this like musical elements that are like not everyday life most of the time. That's what I find interesting, because you like your statement was that there's not enough tech in those episodes, so there should be more tech in it. But like, if I see porn as a kind of escapism, then you want to flee everyday life. You don't want to have like your iPhone when you want to think about like having sex with someone. I don't know.
Well, yes, but no. Well, sometimes it's you want to flee everyday life, but then again, sometimes they cut out the technology in the background. So like when there's a plumber coming and she doesn't own a TV set, the girl, and she doesn't own a stereo, she doesn't own anything. And that doesn't have anything to do with escapism, because it's an everyday life scene, so it should represent actual life. But the technology is like mysteriously missing from all of it. I had such a hard time counting all those, you know, television sets in the background, because there were none. And so when I say I want more tech in pornography, I mean I want more technology being creatively used in a pornographic context. So the TVs in the background are fine, but how about those vibrating cell phones? And how about, you know, kinky phone sex or online sex or something? You could build a narrative from that. I mean, why doesn't anyone do that?
I just wanted to speak to that, actually. I would make the assumption, and this is something that Ian alluded to in his previous talk, that in many cases, like, pornographic films follow a very set formula, and it seems like in many cases, if it is not absolutely essential to that formula, they just cut it out for budgetary reasons.
Well, the formula mostly includes the sexual numbers. There's even a reference guide for people wanting to shoot pornographic films that tells them there is one from the 70s that Linda Williams mentions, and it says you first have to have straight sex, and then you have to have lesbian sex, and then at the end you have to have the orgy. And that is highly regulated, I should think. But the plot and what you do with it, I mean, at least in the European samples I watched, you can make anything. And sometimes they have technology and sometimes they don't, but they're not really creative about it.
Yeah, just I was thinking, you know, you were saying why don't they involve technology more, and like, you know, a lot of people meet other people on MySpace, and then you could have a porn where you meet someone on MySpace and then go fuck them, or, you know, or in an MMORPG or whatever, you know, in Second Life, you know, they could have a porn where they meet on Second Life even, and then they fuck in Second Life and then meet in person. Or like they fuck in Second Life and then find out that they live right next to each other, and then, you know, like
like there are endless possibilities of social contact.
On the MySpace note, there are actually two films out based on meeting on MySpace and then fucking.
What are the titles?
MySpace and or MySpace.com, I think, and MySpace 2.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but the Hacksaw's DVD is a rich source of horrible, horrible tech. Like, I'm overflowing your stack. Your buffer is overrun with me. Yeah. It's like end mapping systems and stuff like that. Yeah, and scanning ports. I think Fyodor was horrified, but I wanted to address the point about tech and porn like producers. I mean, there's definitely plans in the works from lots of porn companies to do the things that you are suggesting. So,
well, maybe in America, the people who are really in love with technology are sometimes the same people who do porn movies. Maybe. See, in Europe, it's a bit different because it isn't like avant-garde or artistically to be a porn producer. It's a really separate kind of people. They are a set. They don't mix with other people well. So there's not a lot of nerds in pornography in Germany, for example. So, and you can see that. I mean, a monitor posing as a computer. All right, so who's next?
Okay, I think Kyle.
So just actually an interesting sort of side point. In 1997, there was a porno that came out called Latex. It was an American porno that was just your general, like, sort of latex costuming fetish sort of thing, except it was filmed completely on computer-generated backgrounds. However, they did not take advantage of that. So even though they had 3D rendering and everything else, back in 97, it basically looked like they were having sex in the Quake first-person shooter. Like, you literally expected someone to, like, run up behind them with, like, a BFG or something like that. But even so, so even when they have the technology, like you were saying, like, they don't really know what to do with it. It's just like, well, here's this computer monitory thingy, and maybe that'll turn someone on. So, yeah.
There's also an American film that I think it's a series. It's called Tropical Islands or something, and they have this computer generated backgrounds as well. And it's really funny because the people having sex, they're having sex in the middle of a really great waterfall. I mean, it's completely crazy, and they're just, you know, they're dry, of course, and and just having sex is if it weren't anything special.
That's what I always thought about, like, Disney movies from the 50s, like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They are always dry. Like, they drop in the water, they climb out like Peter Lorre, and then they are dry. Why?
I guess I was wondering if something, this is some speculation here, and maybe our porn producers can speak to this too. I'm wondering if there's, like, a tech phobia that keeps all of this out, and whether that might be changing as people, you know, are accepting things like the iPhone. I know I've encountered people, I mean, sex toys are a great example. I've encountered a lot of mostly heterosexual guys that are really intimidated by sex toys. And I'm wondering if that is some of it, like, even if that applies over to taking TVs out of the films.
Well, I've read a theory that guys are afraid of sex toys because the masturbating female is independent of the man, and she doesn't need a man to fulfill her sexual fantasies. And so, well, that's a theory I read. And for the technophobia, I also read that technology is really a cold thing, right? So you can look at it, but you can't touch it. It isn't tactile. And sex is really the opposite. It's hot, it's steamy, there's flesh involved, it's soft, you know, and very direct. Whereas technology usually lets you communicate with people through a really cold device. So maybe this is one reason technology isn't represented more on screen, but I can only speculate. And technology isn't necessarily unsexy, but maybe the producers think it wouldn't work. Because the pornographic feature film produced on DVD and sold and shown at porn cinemas is really the most conservative type of just distribution for pornography. And they tend to go with things that have been proven to work.
Hi, well, I thought your comment about that, you know, there wasn't, you couldn't find a lot of movies with the tech in it sort of is a comment on, you know, how many people actually use technology, because, you know, we're sort of isolated here, and, like, sometimes I think, like, oh, my God, you don't use Firefox, and then I look at the statistics, and it's like 6% of the real world uses Firefox, so... For, you know, everybody uses a plumber, you know, everybody orders pizza. So I think, you know, as that kind of technology becomes more acceptable, because, you know, I can't remember the last time I had phone sex, but I've had IM sex recently, you know, but it's very cumbersome. I mean, I have the laptop and I'm all, you know. So I imagine to film that wouldn't be very sexy. But again, you know, MySpace makes sense because MySpace has proliferated into the mainstream. So I think, you know, it's just once it's reflected in the general public, I imagine it will be, you know, it will be proliferating more into regular movies.
Have you seen the movie IKU or heard of this movie?
No.
Oh, I think the director's name is Su Lee Chang, but it's basically like Blade Runner. but made into a porn movie. So all of the women are like cyborg robots, and for the sex scenes, they have this really, it's like a late 90s movie, and for every sex scene, they have this really bad animation where their hands turn into like huge penises, and they have sex with that.
What's it called? IKU?
Yeah, it's just IKU.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.